If you're curious about the innovations powering our world or want to stay in tune with the pulse of technology, then the Advantest Talk Semi podcast is your ticket to understanding the technology that powers our everyday lives. Whether you're a tech enthusiast, a curious mind, or just someone who wishes to keep a finger on the pulse of technological advancements, you've come to the right place. Join us at Advantest Talk Semi. I'm your host, Keith Schaub, Vice President of Technology and Strategy at Advantest.
Welcome, yokozo, to another great episode of Advantest Talk Semi. This episode titled Navigating the Semiconductor Horizon 2024 and Beyond. Risto Puhakka, General Manager from Tech Insights, the authoritative information platform on the semiconductor industry, is going to be guiding us through the dynamic world of semiconductors. Back again, Risto joins us to share his invaluable insights on the current state and future of the semiconductor industry, from the impact of AI and robotics to geopolitical influences and the latest from CES 2024. We're covering it all, so let's get started and explore what lies ahead in this ever-evolving industry. Risto, Happy New Year 2024, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Keith, and Happy New Year. Nice to be back.
Yeah, great to have you back. So, Risto, I want to kick this off. It's hard to believe, but this time last year, ChatGPT from OpenAI had just debuted on the scene. And it's only been a year, but it feels like the entire world is now obsessed with AI. We've got now chip manufacturers and hyperscalers battling for market dominance. And to paraphrase Lisa Su, CEO of AMD, she said, "Last year has shown us that AI isn't just a cool new thing, it's the future of computing." I thought that was interesting. I would say it's the future, full stop. And nowhere was this more apparent than CES 2024, which ended, as you know, just a couple of weeks ago. So our Advantest team was there, and what we saw, literally every single company's messaging and product centered around AI in some way. So the question is, what happened in 2023? And did we literally just see the entire world change in the blink of an eye?
It certainly changed in the blink of an eye, literally in a matter of the ChatGPT was launched late, basically 22 became available. I think it experienced the fastest ramp of usage that the world has ever seen. The adoption rates, the usage rates just went through the roof, and people were fascinating because the ChatGPT literally could take a lot of human tasks, which were traditionally, in a sense, felt that those are the human tasks, and suddenly they became very, very easy to do. And, the joke around, like my people is like, why don't you take this data set called the ChatGPT and send write a report on this? And then just, you mentioned Lisa Su, an AMD, a great company. And Lisa put out this $400 billion market size in 4 or 5 years. And it became a huge head scratcher for us, for example, and say, are we going to go in against Lisa and say, no, it's not 400? Or are we going to go figure out what Lisa's thinking is on or AMD's thinking on this? And those are kind of the ramifications. And then we can't, forego the comment that NVIDIA became a $1 trillion market capitalization company. And there was not a lot of those companies. And now we have a semiconductor company there with that. So that obviously got the fascination of the whole financial world, in a single say. And so we had a perfect storm that was lit up in the late 22. So yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah, great. It's exciting times for sure. So aside from this AI phenomenon that has seemingly taken over the world and was definitely one of the overarching themes that we saw at CES 2024, I noted 6 key technology themes from 2024.
Yeah.
AI, obviously, number one, ubiquitous integration of it. The advancements in robotics, the robots in your homes to mow your lawn, to help the elderly, healthcare,
yeah.
Expanding applications in computer vision, which go hand in hand with the AI, and then the momentum in spatial computing, which is the rebranded term for AR and VR,
mm-hmm.
of course, EVs and automobiles, and the innovations in micro LEDs and transparent displays.
Yeah.
So the question is, I mean, these are the six themes that we sort of took away and that people were talking about. Do these six themes resonate with Tech Insights and your observation? And why these six, I mean, AI notwithstanding, why these six, and are there others that we should be thinking about?
You know, we, our people from CES, they're still writing some of their observations and comments and analysis, but those are the key things. But I would like to add a comment here. You know, first is AI, which is effectively a little bit of, let's call it, unknown application. We still are trying to figure out what it is. Then you got robotics, computer vision, spatial computing, which is a technology, EV, a kind of application, but driven by technology pieces, and micro LED, which is definitely a device. Those five are all centered and driven by AI. So it's a kind of, catch all AI show. And I was not able to make the show myself, but, you know, we had a 10-person team there. And when you look at the comments, it's basically, even those are exciting technologies, they are driven by AI, or they drive AI one way or the other. So, you know, take micro LED driving data to AI. Take an EV, moves an AI to basically become into, or EV or let's say autonomous vehicles requires that AI component to become a fully functional spatial computing, a world of AI and computer vision driving data to AI and robotics, going to be a great user of AI. So you have actually a huge amount of technologies that are just coalescing, you know, basically cohabiting the marketplace, and the AI is in the center.
Yeah, and just to sit on that for a second, I heard recently also that we talked about AI going into different segments.
Yeah.
But one of the big takeaways is that AI isn't going into different segments. It's going into all segments.
Yeah.
Like everything now, doesn't matter what it is, agriculture, industry, gas, oil mining, you know, grocery stores, everything has AI as part of the growth behind it now.
That's exactly. It is the really catch-all application from the industries, from the applications.
Okay, so we could probably talk about this for quite some time, but there's so much to cover here, but I want to focus on two of those trends. The first one, spatial computing, and the second, micro LED. The reason I want to talk about spatial computing is because Apple's Pro Vision is actually coming out next week, and there's been a lot of sneak peeks at it and a lot of videos, and there's getting a lot of press in the media. So from that aspect, how do you see this technology impacting the semiconductor, this industry?
Well, I mean, it's basically, again, you're going to need basically the data stream to that, those devices is going to be higher. So, and that corresponds, you need more better processors, you need a better logic components, you need more memory. All of the things that basically drives that experience is going to be driven. Basically, I'm going to say from the perspective of silicon, it will take more silicon per whatever your measurement is compared to what the previous applications were, whether it was your smartphone having that experience, whether it was your TV having that experience. But that's kind of the experience we should expect from that.
Yeah. So let's pivot then over to the transparent micro LED displays. I think a lot of consumers, this was really their first time seeing this technology, at least in a big way. It's very futuristic technology with, you know, transparent displays, and Samsung had one of the largest displays there as one of the largest semiconductor manufacturers as it unveiled their, I think it was 77-inch micro LED display to sort of open CES. But I kind of want to draw everyone's attention to the technology has been in research and development for the past 6+ years. And Advantest has been working with those companies on developing next generation test solutions for that space. The technology is still expensive, I think, compared to traditional displays, but I do see a lot of potential industry use cases. So from Tech Insights and from your perspective, how do you see this market and its impact on the semiconductor industry?
Obviously, you know, we still have the cost issues to address, but it is a technology that we should expect a normal cost reduction curve that we see on the display technologies across the generations. So I don't have any issues with that. And then once we get there and we start to see those cost reductions, it will come everywhere. You know, again, it's a progression of display technology, providing the users, the consumers, richer, more thorough, whatever the adjectives you want to use, experience of viewing things. And I was just chuckling your comment. I wish I had seen that 77-inch micro-LED display from Samsung, because by background, I was thinking that, you know, you need to start to build your house around the display technology rather than fitting your display into your house. So it's kind of an interesting way we start to change the world around us. But yeah, again, it becomes, you have a completely different experience as a consumer or user of that, the display technology. So that's what we will see.
Well, I think also they're hoping and thinking that we're going to build those displays on the outside of our houses as well.
Exactly. Yeah, we will have instead of buying your Christmas decorations for your house, you'll just have a display to change it. Well, it makes life easier.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so like I said, we could talk about CES for the entire show, but let's stop there and move on to talk about market situations, what happened in 2023, and what the outlook for 2024 is. So 2023 was a tumultuous year. The semiconductor industry went into a slowdown. There were pullbacks. A lot of companies announced layoffs. Orders were shifted out. And the entire ecosystem sort of slowed down for a bit. So it's over. 2023 is completed. How did the semiconductor industry end up versus the expectations?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at that, let's go back. What was forecasted late, basically 22 for 23? From our perspective, we did expect semiconductor downturn in also equipment downturn along the way. Obviously, memory was leading the way. They definitely had a substantial cyclical downturn. There was a debate whether non-memory logic, power analog will follow. We did keep our view that it is unavoidable, probably milder, and that certainly was the case. Just kind of the interesting observations from last year is that when you think that the business is darkest, you know, that's when we are in the bottom. And sure enough, you know, the bottom was second quarter, you know, May, June time frame, and in the third quarter, things started to turn up. It did not feel like that, but you know, if you look at the data and how things evolved, especially the memory obviously started to see that improvement, but also the logic, especially in the fourth quarter, started to get back to it. I presented we can call the 24 a little bit later. The interesting observation is there that the power and analog segments did follow the downturn, but almost like a year behind. So now that we see memory and logic recovering nicely, we actually see power and analog having a slowdown now. So that's kind of an interesting how the different segments experience the cycle. In our expectation for that, for power and analog, that the cycle is a lot milder. And so there was such a shortage of those components in 2021, 22 still.
You mentioned 2024, but before looking out at 2024, I do want to get to that. But we had a very notable acquisition that occurred this month, which made some big news in the semi industry with the announcement of Synopsys acquiring Ansys for $35 billion. So can you walk us through that? Why the acquisition, and what could it mean for the industry, and what should we be thinking about there?
The way I look at this, the Synopsys is what I would call, and this is with the huge respect, a classical EDA company providing. They have recognized the value of simulation. They have definitely invested money on their simulation capabilities. And then Ansys comes from the different origins, not the classical EDA, but they built out their capabilities through simulation. So there is actually now a strong EDA and a strong simulation capabilities brought together. I haven't seen and haven't had a chance to really talk to customers and users, but my understanding is that it's really a customer driven that they actually see that hey, if these two guys can combine their tools, there's going to be a very nice outcomes for the customers. So that's also driving the acquisition from the background. And I think it's listed as a merger, but basically that's the setup.
Okay, great. And yeah, I think we're just seeing a lot of things shifting around with this new globalization. And one of the ways I've heard it described, so there are two transitions. There's the transition from the age of discovery to the age of implementation. And then the second is from the age of expertise to the age of data.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a bit convoluted way to say, but the way I interpret that is it's saying that we're in the throes of AI implementation with big data, and the companies that embrace and implement AI throughout their ecosystem, and the ones, of course, that have access to the big data sources, those are the companies that are best positioned to win in this winner-take-all scenario or winner-take-all game. I guess maybe you could think that acquisition is kind of part of that thinking. Is that the right way to think about this, or should we be thinking about it in a different way?
I'm thinking it more different way. In certain ways it's a way, but it still stays within the semiconductor design environment. So you can have that 2 nanometer, 1.5 nanometer design, loads of data that you have to go through, and now you have a substantial simulation capabilities to build into that design. So you actually start to see better and faster how that design is going to turn out in the real world. So big data plays a huge role. It's just that the big data is within the semiconductor world. When we talk about big data, we talk about Googles and Facebooks. And this is a different application of that big data.
So PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC, has highlighted that the transformative potential of AI, projecting that it could contribute over $15.7 trillion to the global economy by 2030. And a large portion of that growth is driven, or is expected to be driven, by generative AI. So in your perspective, how could this impact the semiconductor industry in 2024 and 2025? I mean, what should we expect for the semiconductor industry in the next year or so?
Yeah, well, actually, this leads, it's a great lead on that. On the long term, let's go to the long term, because, you know, PricewaterhouseCoopers mentioned 2030. There's always this trend and discussion in our industry. So when we will reach $1 trillion in semiconductor sales? We haven't changed our forecast yet, but we have internal discussions. You know, it's how and one of those things comes into definitions. How do you count that? Let's assume Lisa Su's forecast of $400 billion becomes true. It will definitely push that $1 trillion number higher. For sure. Now, PricewaterhouseCoopers, you know, whichever ways they came up with that analysis of $15 trillion, well, we don't have to worry about the funding of that $1 trillion anymore, because the money is there. So you got to get that both sides to kind of, so that's actually describes that the environment around AI. You see that huge, you know, PricewaterhouseCoopers, huge benefits. Lisa Su basically saying, hey, we're going to have to build up the supply here to reap those benefits. And the numbers get big very quickly. So that's the long term. Let's look at the shorter term, the 24 and 25. I presented early January our 24 forecast and 25 forecast publicly, and while we are very positive, 16% up on semiconductors this year, and another 10% to 25. I was myself, when I was presenting, I made comments that I am a little bit concerned on the demand side. And because we, at the time, we added the demand side was still a little bit cloudy, worried about inventories, things like that. Since then, once TSMC announced their fourth quarter numbers, gave the projections for 2024, those demand concerns are way gone. We are going to see a classical upturn, but for sure in the next couple of years. And then the only question is what kind of numbers we can truly see. But the very healthy 2-3 years ahead of us right now.
So right now we're looking at least forecast 16%, and next year it's targeted to be 10.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
16 this year, 10, 25 or so. And the further we go out from this cycle, we actually see the demand improving. So the demand side, and we already now see that the demand is actually fairly robust. And it's not only AI, but also other parts of the semiconductor businesses start to see the demand improving.
So I want to feed off of what you said a little bit there. Obviously, with these large numbers like 15 trillion and
yeah,
400 billion, we're seeing now countries positioning and investing they're all vying for their position to compete for what looks to be a very lucrative economic opportunity. And so we have the CHIPS Act here in the U.S., and then other countries have their own versions of the CHIPS Act. So considering the challenges around AI governance, reliability, AI security, are there any geopolitical shifts or anything that you're seeing, and what should we be watching for?
Okay. We're dealing with, I would say, three large powers. We can always debate what are the relative strengths of each. We have United States, China, and European Union as a, and of course, there are opinions and views about who are stronger and what are the weaknesses and strengths, but each of them will have their own approach for AI. In case of China, they are limited on access to the most advanced technologies, which creates its own challenges. Then United States is clearly giving NVIDIA, AMD, U.S. government is taking a very aggressive approach to it. And then Europe is still kind of a little bit, let's say, evaluating and looking what they potentially can do. They see the opportunities in some other parts of the economies, but for sure AI. And you can look at it from regional geopolitical perspective, but equally one step down, corporations. The competition, take hyperscalers. The competition is fierce. It's really, really, because you may decide really winners and losers on this technology. I'm going to use the term technology cycle. Look at Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Apple, how those have to invest and find the best applications and what fits their business. That's a very interesting. On that geopolitical level, you go one step lower, you have that corporate level. And the competition is as fierce, is not more fierce than geopolitically.
Risto, we're at the end of our program, and I want to thank you for sharing your invaluable insights, and a shout out to Tech Insights. Before signing off, though, any final thoughts?
Just the general thing is we are actually at the beginning of a very nice cycle here. What we didn't really mention here, one of the beauty of AI from just the business and forecasting perspective, we are not limited by the number of humans. We are limited by the number of machines, and it's growing. So that's an interesting thing to think about at the end of the interview here, relative to AI. But very nice to be back. I really enjoyed.
Good point. Okay, so Risto, again, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And to all our listeners, we hope you found this conversation as enlightening and thought-provoking as we did. To learn more from Tech Insights, you can visit them at techinsights.com. And don't forget to tune in to our next Advantest Talk Semi episode, where we'll continue to delve into the world of technology and innovation. Thank you for listening.
This is Keith Schaub hosting Advantest Talks Simi. And here is some important Advantest news from Hera Hassan, our global marketing communications specialist, followed by some recent event highlights from Junko's Top 3. Hello, Hera.
Hi, Keith. We wrapped up 2023 with more events than ever, so I'm excited to see what we have in store for this year. Next up on our event calendar, we have Automotive World from January 24th to 26th in Tokyo, Japan, and Semicon China from March 20th to 22nd in Shanghai. And as always, be sure to connect with Advantest on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram for all the news and much more. Junko, on to you.
All right. Thank you, Hera. So welcome to this year's first episode of Junko's Top 3, featuring Semicon Japan, held on December 13th through 15th, 2023 in Tokyo. My first takeaway is that there was a significant increase in the show attendance, soaring from 50,000 last year to 85,000 this year. And this surge well reflects Japan's ongoing efforts to revive its semiconductor industry. The number of our booth visitors also increased by 50%. Not only our customers, but also many government officials, media representatives, financial experts, and investors, many of whom are not traditionally associated with semiconductor engineering. My next takeaway is that through our new application-centric display in our booth, highlighting the major applications like hypercomputing, automotive, and 5G, we were able to effectively communicate Advantest's role and the importance of our test technologies to this broader non-engineering audience. I believe sponsoring Smart Mobility Pavilion, which featured the latest electric vehicle, and our president Yoshida-san's presentation on how Advantest is enabling the future through semiconductor testing, also helped our audience understand how our test solutions are integral to those applications supporting our daily lives. My last takeaway is that introducing new products enabling such applications, including HA1200 die-level handler, active thermal control 2kW option, and high-speed I/O instrument for B93000's exascale platform, helped us enhance our message and project our strong industry leadership. So this wraps up my top three takeaways from Semicon Japan 2023. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Junko, and thank you, Hera. And see you all on the next Advantest Talk Simi.